On My Walk, the reading podcast that helps you capture reading's aha moments and apply them to your life and leadership. Today, I want to talk with you about Lincoln's best weapon, which was his use of words. Now, I discovered this in Gary Will's Pulitzer Prize-winning book, Lincoln at Gettysburg, The Words That Remade America. And I experienced this aha moment at several places, in particular when Will said words were weapons for him. James McPherson, whom Will's quote said, Lincoln won the war by his language. Now, McPherson is speaking in hyperbole, but the point is made. Lincoln used his words incredibly well. He considered language the supreme invention of mankind. And leaders today do well to follow Lincoln's example of using their words incredibly well. Lincoln, as Gary Wills notes, wove a spell with his words. Let me play you this clip.
His speech is economical, taut, interconnected, like the machinery he tested and developed for battle. Words were weapons for him, even though he meant them to be weapons of peace in the midst of war. This was the perfect medium for changing the way most Americans thought about the nation's founding acts. Lincoln does not argue law or history as Daniel Webster did. He makes history. He does not come to present a theory, but to impose a symbol, one tested in experience and appealing to national values with an emotional urgency entirely expressed in calm abstractions like fire in ice. He came to change the world, to effect an intellectual revolution. No other words could have done it. The miracle is that these words did. In his brief time before the crowd at Gettysburg, he wove a spell that has not yet been broken. He called up a new nation out of blood and trauma.
Did you catch that? Lincoln's words were weapons of peace in the midst of war. So I'm listening to this and I'm asking myself, how do I learn from Lincoln so that I can get better with my words? And I went back through this chapter, which is entitled Revolution in Style, a masterful piece of writing. And I went back and I identified four lessons I could learn. Let me share them with you. The first one is this: fall in love with words. Now, I had a professor in college whose name was Paul Davidson, and he used to stand up in front of our class, arms outstretched, fingers waving in the air, and plead with us with these words: fall in love with words, brothers. Fall in love with words. Well, Lincoln did. Gary Wills said, Lincoln was a student of the word. And he points out how he dialogued with his secretary, John Hay, on philology, which is the study of literature and language. Lincoln fell in love with words by reading Shakespeare, by going to plays and listening to how the actors would drop a line at just the right way and use a word in just a particular way. And Lincoln would agree with Mark Twain, who said, the difference between the almost right word and the right word is really a large matter. It's the difference between lightning bug and lightning. Well, Lincoln fell in love with words, and his words were not lightning bugs, they were lightning in a time when he needed to make a big impact. The second lesson I learned is this: form your words carefully. Listen to what Will says as he compares and contrasts General Grant with General McClellan. Here's what he writes. Lincoln's respect for General Grant came, in part, from the contrast between McClellan's waffling and Grant's firm grasp of, get this, the right words to use in explaining or arguing from a military operation. He said, sitting on his horse during a pause in battle, Grant could write model instructions for his subordinates, a skill John Keegan compares to the Duke of Wellington. And remember, the Duke of Wellington is the one who led England to defeat Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo. Wills writes, this surely is the secret of Lincoln's eloquence. He not only read aloud to think his way into sounds, but wrote as a way of ordering his thought. In other words, he formed his words carefully. And I have to ask myself, am I doing that? Whether I'm writing a note or a blog, or preparing a message, or there's a speech to give, Am I taking the time to do that extra work to form those words carefully? Number three, prune your words. In this particular chapter, one thing that Gary Wills does is quote Hugh Blair, who said, "The first rule which I shall give for promoting the strength of a sentence is to prune it of all redundant words." And after quoting that, he says this, "Lincoln may have known Blair directly. He certainly knew his principles." In other words, Lincoln was very careful about pruning his words. And Wills does a masterful job in this chapter of showing how Lincoln was very particular about pruning so he had just the right word. And he describes the time when William Seward, his Secretary of State, gave him a speech and Lincoln took it virtually phrase by phrase and tweaked it and pruned it so he had just the words he wanted to use. Again, back to the Twain quote, "The difference between the almost right word and the right word is the difference between the lightning bug and lightning." Number four, polish your words. You know, I always assume that Lincoln wrote the Gettysburg Address on a piece of paper. One speech, one text, done. Not so. And what Wills does is he highlights, get this, six different texts. In other words, Lincoln didn't write the Gettysburg Address, write it out, just one time, but six different times. And then Wills makes this point at the conclusion of one particular appendix where he discusses these six different texts. He said this, "As the final one Lincoln authorized, it has become the one most generally printed." And he's talking about the Biltmore Fair text. He said, "I treat it as the basic text in this book. It is stylistically preferable to the others in one significant way. Lincoln removed the word here from that cause for which they here gave. This seventh here is in all other versions of the speech. Lincoln obviously felt that six uses of the word were enough in so short a speech. That he was still making such improvements suggests that he was more concerned with a perfected text than with a, quote, original one. However, that is understood. The hunt for composition drafts or a delivery text or the Wills copy might have amused him, but who can believe it would seriously have concerned him? Because what he was looking for was the right word." Lincoln took time to polish his word. And writers need to do that. Speakers need to do that. We've got to go back and assess what it is we're going to say or what it is we've written, and can we tweak it to make it better? Well, Lincoln's best weapon, his weapon for good in the midst of war, was his use of words. That's my thought on my walk with Gary Wills and Lincoln at Gettysburg. Now, what you do with it, that's for you to work out on your walk through life.